It's 5:02. I'd like to call the regular session of the Water Utility Commission to order.
Roll call.
Chair Greg Hitt.
Here.
Vice Chair Alan Forrest.
Here.
Commissioner Patricia Olson.
Here.
Commissioner Niranjan Besio.
Here.
Commissioner David Adler.
Here.
All right, thank you. Let the record show we have a quorum. Call the audience. Any speaker cards?
No speaker cards.
Okay. Regular session agenda. Item number one, review and approval of September 11, 2023, regular session meeting minutes. Any additions or deletions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Motion and second for approval. Any opposition? Motion passes. Item number two, update and discussion on the community's next 10-year action plan, known as Oro Valley's Path Forward. Lenny.
All right. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for having me. My name is Melini Sims. I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley, and I'd also like to introduce Renee Olvera. She is also in the planning department and going to be working on the OV's Path Forward. So Oro Valley's Path Forward is the community's next 10-year plan. It will be on the ballot for voters in 2026, and if approved, will replace the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. The process is a three-year one to get as much community input and outreach as we can. This year, for specifically over this next year, we will be out in the community really trying to get input on what they value, what everyone wants to make sure is maintained, but also maybe some considerations for the future to help update the community's vision and values, which really creates the foundation of the next 10-year plan. Throughout this process, I will be asking to attend your commission meetings to make sure that you all are up to date on what we're hearing back from the community as well, so that you can make sure, especially with these focus topic conversations that we're going to be having with folks, but also we'll be launching a townwide survey in January and February, and we'll be showing those results to your commission as well. And then ultimately drafting the next updating the community vision and values that we'll bring back to you. So some of you may recall I was here, gosh, now is a year ago, if you can believe it, asking or coming to approach you guys, letting you know we were launching this project and that also the community engagement plan. And I want to thank all of you who, if you took a survey in the last year about the general plan or even housing or participated in the resident advisory groups, your work really helped make sure that we have all the tools and methods needed to get community outreach. As part of that, it did produce a community engagement plan that was an award-winning plan in terms of how much outreach you get, the community provided for that. And ultimately, the community engagement plan is prioritizing residents' voice. So the entire community is being asked to participate, but of course, we want to hear from residents first and foremost. Since we were here trying to inviting you all to participate in the community engagement plan, we have worked on some what we are calling background reports, and actually Peter Abraham was very kind to help provide information for the water background report and also record a video on water. And ultimately what these background reports aim to do is to provide the community with the baseline. Where are we now with our water use, our housing, our public safety? And that will help the community hopefully also decide where do we want to go in the next 10 years. The last effort that we did was the project branding, so you probably got a series of emails from me also about that to get engaged, and that's what really produced OV's Path Forward. That branding is, we wanted to make sure we had something that encourages the community to not only get involved, but take ownership. Without community ownership of the plan, it won't be successful, and also it won't be something that we can implement over the next 10 years, so we need to make sure that it reflects everyone's goals and policies to make sure that they're implementable for a 10-year time frame. And most recently with the launch, it includes going out into the community. We want to make sure that participation is easy, fun, and meaningful for everyone, making sure it's transparent as well. And so we have an interactive website, and we'll have also many events out in the community. If you are a part of other groups, or if you know of events or places where there are a lot of people like to go in Oro Valley, please let us know. We need everyone's help to help spread the word. You have little cards about it on your place, and we have extras. So if you are able to help spread the word, if you're part of your HOA, let us know. We'd be happy to present to them as well. But we really need volunteers in the community to really help drive this process. So the website is ovpathforward.com. If you go to it now, you can register. It's free to register. You can answer questions. There's overall questions, which, spoiler alert, we're going to ask you to answer tonight. But for other community members, too, they can go online and answer them. But then there's also those background reports and the videos to inform the public. So the spoiler didn't last that long. So these three questions are what we're at right now going out in the community to get to answer. And that is, what do you like best about Oro Valley? What should Oro Valley be known for? And what challenges do you foresee for Oro Valley in the next 10 years? And again, this will help us take all this information to update the vision and values, but also start figuring out what the goals are for the community in the next 10 years. So if I may, Chair, ask everyone if you would come over to our table over here. We have post-it notes, and if you would like to add an answer on a post-it note, and sir, you're invited to as a community member. We definitely want to hear from all of you as well. So,
This is what we did at the State of the Town.
Yep. Yeah, some of you may have done it, or have seen it in action at least. We're not going to go around and read it out loud.
Also, feel free to grab some of the stickers that we have there. Those are some fun things to take.
This was as enjoyable for you as it is for us to get all the sticky notes. We do need help with volunteers, and our boards and commission are definitely one of our first stops to recruiting volunteers. We need help with not only spreading the word, but standing at booths like this out in the community and helping people with the sticky notes and gathering that feedback. So if you're interested, please let us know, because we want to make sure we're not only getting all ages and demographics, but all geographical areas of the town as well. Again, you can go online, or you can also follow us on Facebook or Instagram, and that will provide updates as well as where we'll be out in the community And if you have any groups that you would like us to present to or that you are you can help spread the word to, that would be appreciated. So I want to thank you all again, and we'll be back for more updates as this process continues. And please let me know if you have any questions.
What type of outreach has been the most productive for you? Like, where have you gone with your booths really successful?
So thank you, Commissioner. So far we've been to a lot of the community events. We've also been to the farmers market at Steam Pump Ranch. And then we've gone along the loop, so different areas along the loop, as well as Big Wash Trailhead. I will say from 2013, when we did this 10 years ago, some of the most beneficial were just even having booths at Fry's or at a Starbucks. So that is something we're still working on, is to get into some of those businesses. And the community events we've gotten definitely have been fruitful. I would say the farmers market, though, was pretty good in terms of having more residents' input. For some of those bigger events, you have community members from the region, which is fine. We want everybody's input, but to really focus on residents.
I'll make a suggestion right here, because you can't get a space in the parking lot. Thursday nights in the Naranja Park.
Okay.
If you want to reach families, there's practices, all the fields are full.
Great.
Saturdays for football. My grandson plays flag football. Boy, there was absolutely no parking this past Saturday. I mean, people were making their own, which isn't great. But I know it's all under construction, and it's a, but yeah,
And because I've been part of the youth sports community, I'd be happy to be there with you.
Thank you.
There's a lot of people. Yeah. But a lot of them are from, like you said, from out. Yeah, they're not all Moro Valley residents.
That's okay.
But there are a lot of people there. Yeah, they had lacrosse, they had football, they had rugby going.
Oh, wow.
All at the same time, that place was just packed.
Well, that's perfect. That's exactly what we need to know. Mm-hmm. And we will be asking you for help on those.
Cool.
So we appreciate
bring
it.
Bring all the coaches and the families together.
Oh, great.
All right. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Item number 3, update and discussion on capital improvement projects. Lee.
Good evening, Chair Kitt, Board of Commissioners. So, as you know, we're approaching our midpoint in the our fiscal year. So this is kind of an update on what where we're at with our capital projects. Beginning with our well, this year we're rehabbing only one well, and that's well E2. We've gone through the process of video logging it, brushing and baling it, cleaning the casing. And what we discovered is we discovered some issues with our original casing of the well. So we're looking at doing a reline, maybe reducing it down from a 16 to a 12 inch. We've got some compromised well casing in there. And so we rehabbed this well was rehabbed in 2018. And so the motor is fairly in good condition, but we're going to send it out to our subcontractor to rehabilitate it. And hopefully be back in service before the end of the year, I'm hoping.
So swedging sleeve?
Yeah, so we went down and we
swedging.
Yeah, we did some swedging because it reduces down. We found a gap where it goes from 16 to 12, so it's kind of an older well that I think was put in with the prior water before the town acquired it, a prior water utility. It's a decent producer. It produces about 550 gallons a minute. So we're hoping to get that back online here shortly, before our peak season. We are now, this is our new well in the Nokomis Sky. You've heard me talk about this one here for a while. We're going through procurement. We're closing out, or we're combining all of our specs, our plans, everything to put it out to the street to get bids. We are going to do it in two phases. We have the well facility itself that we're going to equip, and then the outer portion we need to connect a electrical, and we need to bring electrical, and we need to take out the water line at the entrance. It's a short section, so we're going to do that in two phases. But we're hoping to get that done this year. And then as well as steam pumps in the same situation. We have the design is complete. We are working through the electrical and the specs. I think all of that is complete. And so we're hoping to have this well, as well as the Nokomis Sky well, out to bid here shortly. And this is our Catalina Shadows Palisades area.
I'm just curious as to, you know, there for a while, drillers weren't available. You couldn't get them for any price. Is the market better now? Or?
So fortunately, we've already drilled those two wells.
They're just equipping them.
Okay. Yeah, we were fortunate enough to get those wells drilled, I think, back in, before the pandemic, I think 2019, around there.
Okay.
So we're kind of eager to get those equipped and get them into service. But you're right. There were some issues getting drillers for a long time, and now, from some of our equipping standpoint, you know, getting some of the telemetry items, electrical things like that, control panels, we were having delays. But now they're telling us, hey, you know, it's not going to be 64 weeks now; it's going to be 18.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit better. Yeah. A little bit better. So with this, with the Palisades, this is that interconnect between the Catalina Shadows subdivision and the Silver Hot subdivision. We've got the contractors on board. We've given them the notice to proceed. They're going to start on December 4th. We pushed it back just because we didn't want to interfere with the holidays. You know, we had Halloween, now we have Thanksgiving, and then we'll have Christmas coming up. So we just wanted to make sure we were through all that. So what we're planning to do is, we're planning to do the portion through the desert that's not going to interfere with any of the residents. So we'll start in early December, make our way to Volans, and then from Volans, we're hoping, you know, we'll take, you know, maybe we'll be off for a few days during Christmas, and then we'll come back early January and hit that paved area. So we've sent out notices to the residents, and they're aware of it, and we're excited to get that one going, because that'll improve the flow into the Palisades, what we call the Palisades area. And they'll get just started here in December. This is the El Conquistador subdivision. This is another one similar to the Palisades, where we want to create some redundancy, and so we're looking at alternatives to this water main. This is an option, and we're also looking at doing a PRV, a zone drop, so that we can also supply it that way, less intrusive to that area. And that'll get started. That won't get started. This is more in the design and planning stages this year, and next year we'll go into construction. So this is our countryside wheeling station. So it's currently an existing wheeling station. We wheel in water, our water from Tucson Water, into our countryside service area. We're at 100 gallons per minute today. We're upping that to 300 gallons per minute here, hopefully in the future, soon. The plans are all complete. We've had some delays. We're going through Tucson Water because, you know, it's going to be a partnership, right? We're bringing in the water through their system into ours, and so we actually things have changed because they didn't have the staffing they had previously, so now we're having to do some of the work that Tucson Water was able to do in the past, and so we're doing that. So that put a little bit of a delay on our part, but we're now through that, and we're hoping to have all the plans signed and approved for Tucson Water here shortly. And then we should be able to go to construction. Hopefully, bid it out either late December, early January. We're not expecting this to be a long project. We're thinking less than 180 days. So we should hopefully get this done before the end of the fiscal year. That'll be good for us as well. So Rancho Vistoso Booster, this is another, this is part of our booster rehab program, is, you know, our continuing program with our, within the utility to rehab existing booster sites. And we're focusing on our first one is Rancho Vistoso, where we replaced the HP tanks in previous years. And now we're going to a high efficiency vertical multi-stage centrifugal pumps, as you can kind of see there. These are on skids. And we're looking at doing a skid, but not for this particular site, but similar pumps. And then once we move from here, we'll go do the Sun City one in the coming fiscal year. But this is moving along fine. This is expected to start early next year, early 2024. Okay. A big wash. So this is part of our relining, our reservoir relining program. And every year, David has divers go in and inspect our reservoirs. And this reservoir at Big Wash was identified as not needing it immediately, but it was a high priority for us. And so rather than delay, we figured, you know, let's get in there now and let's do the rehab while we're still, it's not falling apart. The rafters are still up. And
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of corrosion from the chlorination and things like that in the water. But this is on the far left. That photo there is from the Naranja from, I think, 2020, 2021, I think, was when we did that rehab. So that just kind of gives you an example of what it looks like. You know, these processes are pretty extensive, you know, to go in and do the surface preparation, the primers, and then the coatings. And there's usually two or three coatings that go along with that, with, you know, that follow our specs and the mill thicknesses requiring. And these coatings that we're finding are holding up really well. So we're real pleased with that. And, you know, one of the things that we realize is, you know, the more time and effort you invest in maintaining what you have rather than having to replace it, you know, and take it to failure, there's no reason it couldn't last.
Yeah, there's some real truth in that. I mean, I can vouch for that, especially on these kind of tanks. Because if you get to the point where you're having to repair structural damage, I mean, that's an order of magnitude cost above this. To, you know, and sometimes it's cheaper just to replace the thing.
Right.
It gets very expensive very fast when you start getting into structural rehab.
Yeah, and we learned that during the Allied signal, where we started to see the rafters, you know, collapsing.
Yeah, when you're in trouble.
That's when you're in trouble. And that's when you realize, you know, what, you know, like Ellen said, you know, do you rehab it or do you just go completely new? And so when we look at the cost benefit to doing that, and in that particular case, it made more sense for us to do a complete replacement. So, you know, maintaining all of our steel, you know, and that includes our HP tanks as well. You know, our HP tanks, you know, we're investing a lot of money into these tanks, and it just makes sense for us to make sure that they're being well maintained, and there's no reason they can't last forever, really. So that's that big wash. And so, back up a bit. So we have two tanks out there. We've talked to the contractor who was awarded the contract to do the relining of the 200,000. We also have a 150-gallon tank out there that. If we have the funding, if it's available, depending on what we find in the 200-gallon tank, if there's no structural damage or any sort of major issues, then we may be able to do that if we can do it before March, April, probably March. Depends on the weather when we have to have it back in service. So this is our La Cañada two-zone booster. This is the one up at on Moore Road and...
King Air.
King Air. I always want to call it my wife. It's King Air. And so this is a two-zone booster where we'll be boosting from our E to F and E to G zone. So this is a pretty good-sized project. We bid this out last month. We've given a notice to the contractor to award. And so we're hoping to get that going here. Probably start the initial meetings this at the end of this year while we're here, November, December, and then start in January.
This is probably a big booster, right?
This is a big booster. Yeah, these are two boosters, and so this is a big dollar project, but for us, right? For Orville, it's a good size project. But what it's going to help us do is get water into our F and G zones, which will also help us with some of the. We have some smaller boosters within our system that maybe we can look at. Possibly not retiring completely, but using them periodically to kind of exercise them. So this is going to be a huge efficiency boost, I would say, to our system. Yeah, and this has been in the works for a number of years now. So this is exciting, and this will also help us move our Nord's water too.
I was thinking.
Yeah. So as we bring in our Nord's water into our intermediate forebay that we're working on in Shannon Road. That's going to boost it through our E zone into the La Cañada Reservoir, and then from there we'll be able to boost it up to the F and G zones and move that water really, really, really efficiently through our system. It's exciting. So this is the NORDS project. This is the forebay. This is the independent booster site and reservoir that we have that just started this year. Yeah, just this year. Yeah, it seems like it's been longer because they've moved along pretty fast. So this project is kind of the rendition here, the artist's rendition, but you can kind of see what it's going to look like, and we're getting there. So this is kind of some of the photos from the construction. You can see that they have the reservoirs up. They're going to start on the interior coatings this month. They're going to be pouring the slab for that control building, that middle photo there. And then we've got our cans for our boosters there. And then you can see the reservoir off to the left there on the far right photo. So this site is really moving along. And they're the ones that notified us, this contractor, that our control panels might get here sooner rather than later. We've worked it out. We've got TEP. We've got power coming to the site. We've provided them with their easement to provide the power to the site, and we're hoping by March, April to have all that in. So it's moving along a lot faster than we expected. Contractors ahead of schedule. So we have this is our Nord's. I don't know if you've talked about this one, Peter. Or not the partnered portion?
No, I'm not talking about it tonight, but we did it, I think, our last meeting.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we're moving along with the partners. The partners, they held the interviews for the contractor. This is the partnered portion for the wells, to equip the wells, and to construct the transmission main coming from Marana, crossing the Santa Cruz, the CAP Canal, the railroad, and I-10. And then ending up here at our partnered forebay, which is at the Twin Peaks in the Lambert Lane alignment. And so that's where the partners will take us, about a 9-mile stretch with equipping two wells and then 9 miles of pipe and then a reservoir, and then the partners, then Ore Valley is going to take over for the boosters. We'll do the independent, but we'll oversee both Metro Water and Marana's booster site.
This is CMAR.
This is CMAR, yes, that's correct. So yeah, so that's initially, if you remember, a few years ago we went out and it wasn't too favorable, so we decided to reevaluate it and change some things around and go CMAR. And so the last portion is actually going to have to be designed, another about 10,000 linear feet is going to have to be redesigned.
Would you have to go around there on the side of I-10 where it drops down?
So there was some private property, and then I think there was some state land as well. But now it's not really even going to look like this. I think it's going to kind of go like this. Go this way. I think there's just some issues, you know, with
So is the wiring. Will the Seymour contractor take care of the redesign?
Yes, okay, that's so correct.
It's almost a hybrid. It's almost a little bit design build.
Yeah.
The majority has been designed, was approached, right. Design, bid, build, and then the last part is Seymour.
Seymour, yeah.
But Borderland Construction was the came out on top.
And, oh, they did, okay.
And they have a lot of institutional knowledge, a lot of working with the railroad and I-10. So we feel pretty confident that we're going to be successful in getting us the best pricing and best schedule.
Yeah. So that's the next step, negotiating the price.
Yeah, our next step is, get to a guaranteed maximum price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did have, speaking of that, we did have really good contractors put in. So that was another thing that we were really pleased with. We had, I think, about five or six really good contractors submit for this, and I think everyone was pleased that we had such a high quality of list of contractors. So
it's a good project. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised there.
Yeah. You especially, you can appreciate this probably, more than most because you started this, I think.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It was kind of at different places on it throughout its... It's life, I guess.
Yeah, now it's coming.
It's nice to see it finally getting there.
We're almost 10 years into this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has been.
There's a lot of, you just have no idea that the challenges that, what you do, but that we had just to get from there to there.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to everybody because... It's a great idea, great concept, but it's complicated as hell.
Right.
You have all the partners and all the pieces, and so
the stakeholders,
the agencies,
it's a testament to everybody who's been involved that it's gotten to this point because it could have been derailed a lot of different times. Everybody stuck to it, and I think the region. I know the region is going to benefit from this tremendously. So,
and I think that is probably for a lot of folks that were involved in it, and that they recognized that the what this is going to bring to really North Pima County, and all the residents from Marana, Metro Water, and Ore Valley.
Basically going to bring the whole valley into Safefield.
Yeah.
That's really what it's going to do.
Right.
Whole valley into Safefield.
The whole valley here. All of Pima County will be within Safefield, the whole AMA.
Yeah. It's a big deal. It's exciting to be a part of this. So that's good news. So we're hoping that'll get started. And in fact, we've already started, the partners have already started working because what we found out during part of that interview process was that, hey, you know what, Marana's doing, redoing a road, so they're going to put a moratorium on it. So we said, hey, let's jump on this and let's get this, a casing through there so that we don't have to, interfere with that. So it's already starting to come together. So, that's most of the presentation. Where we're at with CIP.
Thank you.
Any questions for David?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke.
All right. Item number four, update and discussion on the water operations activities. David.
Evening. I forgot how to run this thing. I'll give you a quick update on what water operations has been up to since the last time we talked. Again, I just left this slide in there just to kind of remind us of how many people we got and what we take care of. 46 active sites, wells, reservoirs, booster stations, and cap wheeling stations. And now we're going to have more added in another year, a bunch more. 375 miles of water mains. Again, that's going to increase. 2,400 fire hydrants, 8,600 valves we need to operate, 36 PRV stations we need to maintain and keep operational. And over 21,000 metered service connections. We probably need to change that number. It's going up pretty good. And we got 150 water sampling stations throughout both systems. And we're also responsible for the reclaim system. And again, our additional core functions is we operate, monitor, SCADA system, watch the system 24 hours a day. We manage almost 12,000 a year locate requests for utility locates. We work with customer service and take care of all the work order requests from new meter installs, rereads, customer inquiries. And we maintain all drinking water compliance, sampling, and make sure our regulatory reporting is in accordance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. And we work closely with engineering, admin, and other town departments. So in the Water Operations Administration, with our SCADA upgrade, ignition software update, as of the 2nd, we are about 96% completion on it. We've been live, getting live data in as of July 1st. We're actually running to both our SCADA systems simultaneously. On Wednesday this week, we're supposed to have our final QA QC with the vendor. Vertec, they're going to come in, and they're also going to give us administrative training. I put a couple screens up there that lets us get in the back door, work on the design ourselves, work on displays, tags, whatever else we need to do on that. And hopefully there's just a couple little issues, you know, little bugs, and as with any technology, that's never 100%. Also in Water Administration, we're working on our emergency response plan. So in accordance with the America's Water Infrastructure Act in 2018, it required the community water systems, larger ones, to develop and update an emergency response plan that incorporates findings of our risk assessments. We met all that. We had our submission into the EPA well ahead of time, what we did. The town's been working with this vendor on the emergency response plan probably for, 10, 15 years?
Yeah.
Way before my time. Yeah. And I worked with this vendor in when I worked in another municipality. So we review and update this response plan regularly, with the assistance of our security consultant. And we have them, after we updated, we have them reviewed just to make sure that we're in compliance with the AWIA requirements. And then we have all the utility staff participates. We'll have a tabletop exercise. We'll go somewhere and have a big area. And we either simulate a real scenario happening and get everybody's responses to it. It's kind of really neat how it works out. It's usually almost all day that we do that. This year, I think we're going to have a kind of a surprise. I've asked our security consultant and our IT department and our emergency management, the town emergency management staff, to kind of come up with a scenario and hit us with it and see how we respond to it. So it should be interesting. With this, our contractor puts together an emergency management toolbox. Right now, it's kind of in a hidden location. All the operations staff that has access to our SCADA system can get to it. We want to make it a little bit more accessible to all of the water utility staff. So IT is going to set us up our own server, kind of. It'll be secure, but that we can get to it anytime that we need to, from our phones, tablets, whatever we have. So update on our radio upgrade, communication upgrade. But we're getting rid of the old obsolete 9810s, and we're going to these new MDS orbits that have more channels. They have a cellular capability, give us some redundancy. Again, in partnership with the IT department, we have, as of the 2nd, all of the reclaimed system radios have been changed out. So that was kind of our guinea pig to see how the project was going to go, and it went really well. We had one little issue where we had to adjust one antenna, which was pretty amazing. So now we're ready to tackle the bigger system coming up. The radios have been ordered. We're just waiting for them to get here.
David, does that upgrade allow us to be able to have, like, more alarm, like more sensors and video capability?
We're hoping that with the cellular part of it, because the 900 megahertz, it's like your them old phones with the antenna they used to have. Signal's not as strong, but it travels a long ways. So as long as we don't have a lot on it, we can control the system. We can watch it. We start wanting cameras and video stuff like that. We need to have a higher frequency. Or with this, we can use the cellular network. So that's something that IT is working on. That'll be their side of it. Oop, wrong way. So the water production activities at our big wash facility over by Walmart. For phase one, we installed automated access to the gates through security badge readers. Rather than getting out of the truck, unlocking the lock, having to open gates up, it lets us get in there quicker, and plus we can also monitor through the badge access who's coming, who's going. With that, we also installed security cameras at the site. In fact, that picture right there is off of one of the security cameras. So in phase two, we replaced the swing gates. There was two gates there. You can see the two operators right there. That swung open. Well, we had a microburst come in, and it actually uprooted both of these concrete stands for the operators. And those were concrete 2 feet in the ground. Yeah, it was crazy. They're 20-some, 30 years old, and it ended up doing. So we had plans to install this gate at a later date. That just moved it up. So now we have a single rolling gate that's more secure with only one operator. So it has like ears right there that lock that gate in, so if the wind comes up, it can't blow them open. In phase three, probably sometime after the reservoir relining happens, is we'll get in and we'll do some upgrades to the buildings, and we're actually building some shops and some closed-in areas to work in. So a little update on our Arizona Department of Corrections inmate work program. Again, Public Works experienced a decline in inmate participation, which forced us to give up our inmates to them, so we only get one day a week, which has made it difficult to schedule and complete projects. As you know and remember before, we were really like rock and roll and getting a lot of good stuff done. So in January 2024, Mary and I are going to go talk with another correctional facility, Wilmont, down southeast Tucson. A little farther away, but we understand we might be able to get an IGA with them and get some inmates up here. And so we'll have a full crew there in the week. the production and water staff, we just went last week to the Marana prison. We do our prison for a day, we call it, where they take us in. We have to do a class, everything. So we just completed that, so we're all good to go. For our water control systems group, all of our PLCs and control panels and stuff out in the field, they're old, they're legacy. So a lot of the parts aren't being supported anymore, so we need to upgrade those. So we've come up with a 5 to 10 year replacement plan. And our first part that we're doing this year, we're actually going to take a couple of the smaller sites and we're going to build the panels ourselves rather than going out to a contractor. So that's underway. Parts and pieces have been purchased and our plans have been put together. We're just waiting for everything to come in.
David, your instrumentation and control group does that, right?
Yep. Yeah, we cleared them out some shop room. We made them an indoor shop area. Where they'll have a clean room so that they can do that all together. We already have, you can see right there, we already have a basic exterior plan. That's how all of our panels, we want them all to be laid out like this. So anybody goes in there, they know where the IOs are, they know where the discretes are, they know where the relays are, and all the panels will be that way.
And they'll be standardized, right?
Like, yeah, it'll be all standardized.
David? Apologize for taking you backwards, but I was just thinking about the inmate program. I mean, that's
really great, and you guys have had some really good success with that. I'm aware some other, you know, municipalities, utilities that also, you know, take advantage of that program. They have actually gone as far as to kind of making it a training where you kind of bring the inmates in, and not only do they do the labor work, but they also kind of go through a training program, so at some point they can get certified as an operator, and then that just brings more operators into the industry, and they can go out and, you know, apply or get jobs with utilities that need the staff. Have you guys ever thought of making that somewhat of a training?
No, it's interesting you bring that up, because when we were just in our class last week talking with Miranda Prison, they're actually, because they got a new director, you know, new administration, new director. Their new director wants them to bring in now first-time offenders. So there'll be 18 to less than 30-year-olds that are going to come in, first time that they've ever offended, and try to get them on a rehabilitation track. If that happens, we could possibly offer that to them.
Yeah.
Yes, I have thought of that. That is a good idea.
Yeah, because it's good for the industry. It's good for, you know,
industry
utilities.
Needs it right now,
but the industry
scary.
Right now really needs
it does.
More
so if that comes to fruition with them, we probably could work something out with
yeah.
them.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm not sure how far AZ Water is going to go with this, but they're interested in maybe partnering to kind of help the utilities with maybe some training, you know, modules or even trainers to help, you know, facilitate that. Because, again, it benefits the industry that we're all
That's
a part
good,
of.
Good
so,
ideas.
So, yeah, if you ever decide to go that way, let me know and I can put you in touch with, you know, AZ Water folks.
Yeah, I'm a member.
Yeah.
Don't have time to go to any other groups anymore. So in our water distribution, they started doing their quarterly maintenance of all the 36 PRV stations. So they do quarterly inspections. They go in and they test upstream, downstream pressures. They check, make sure everything's operating. And they will do their annual winterization of it, getting it ready for the winter. Water meter operations activities with the water meter warranty changeout. They've done over 600 since January now. And again, they're able to do this and do it quickly using the SpryPoint software and update everything right on until the customer service doesn't have to do it. So they continue to work on that. For in our water quality, I don't know if we ever talked about the revised lead and copper rule. When it came out and they were trying to revise lead and copper in drinking water systems, and it was really convoluted when it first came out because the EPA said water systems, you're going to go and look at all your service lines and tell us what and make sure there's no lead and with the way the lead and copper rule is, normally we think of the service line from the water main to the meter and that's it. The rest of its customer side. With the lead and copper rule, it's from the water main to where it enters a building. That is what's considered the service line. So finally, in 2022, the EPA released some guidance on, you know, how we were going to do that as water purveyors. So they came up with the plan. They actually, there's some dashboards that our IT helped us with. So that we could go out and identify a way to record it. So we did it with using building plans. You know, existing our as-builds, all that. But they would not go off of, well, we already know it's not there. We know it's there. They wanted proof of it. So we had to go out and actually vacuum out some of the meter boxes, take pictures of what we saw coming off of the meter. In some of the more developed neighborhoods, we didn't have to do like all 500 homes in there. We just had to do 7% of them. And so we picked it out. As long as that 7% matched, then they were good with that. So our deadline is October 16, 2024, to have not only identified, but to have all of our forms submitted, everything, all of our verifications, all of our signatures, everything done. So we were working on it pretty good. We got it down to about 12,104 we had left. And so we started looking at that, like, with the time frame that we did in almost a year, we only did half. Could we make it in another year, do another half? So we decided, no, we couldn't do that. So we actually pulled all the operation groups together, got different members of different teams, and they went out, and we gave them till February, you know, you guys get this done, February, March, get this done. They actually buckled down, and they got it all done in 6 weeks. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Do you have any lead service?
No.
I didn't think you would.
No, I don't think anywhere in Arizona does. I've worked all over Arizona. I've never seen it. But they consider that if you don't know what it is, then they say it's lead. So that's why we had to go out and look at them and everything.
Just for the commission's edification, really, Flint, Michigan was a driver.
Flint, Michigan was the driving force of all this, yes. It was. So that's kind of where we are. I was really happy that when I pulled up that and I got this zero unverified service line. There was a couple little things in here. You see a couple of weird numbers in there that was stuck in the software IT and it's got it all. So we should actually have all of our documentation back into EPA probably February, March next year. What I'm hoping, or certification. And then, of course, it will eventually become available to the public, because that's part of it, is the public needs to be able to go on and say, okay, well, they didn't identify any lead in this, or they did, you know, so that the public knows. And that's what I got. Any questions?
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number five, update and discussion on water utility financials. Mary.
Okay, this is a financial update through October 31st, 2023. First starting with revenues, so our potable water sales, we're at 5.4 million and we're projecting to meet budget. Reclaimed water sales at 674,000 and we're almost at halfway right now, so we're probably going to either meet or exceed budget. Groundwater preservation fees, 953,000, that's projected to meet budget. Service fees, 307,000. Projected to meet budget. So in total, we're at 7.4 million. And so all our revenues are projected to meet or slightly exceed budget by fiscal year end. And that's because of the hot, it's been really hot. So expenses, personnel, we're at 1.1 million. So we're probably be under budget because of vacancy savings. Due to some retirements and resignations. Operations and maintenance, we're at 2.7 million, and that's projected to meet budget. Capital, about 226,000. We might come in at, or we might meet budget. Usually I think that's later in the year. We'll probably wrap up the projects. So our debt service payment, we made $3.7 million payment on July 1st of 23. So total expenses are at $7.7 million, and we'll probably meet or be slightly below budget. New meters installed this year, 63. Our customer base is 21,363. Water Smart registered accounts are 7,400, and our customer portal is at 9,120.
For the new meter installs, is that up from previous years, or
no,
is it's pretty much the same?
Question on your reclaimed water sales. After Stoso shut down, am I right that we weren't taking our full allocation or we weren't selling it?
Yeah, we haven't, with this, using the 18 holes, we haven't used our full entitlement.
Right. So you budgeted less, and that's why we're selling more than anticipated?
Well, we just, every year, we've long since accounted for losing those 18 holes of golf. So, I mean, that doesn't even factor in anymore as far as, you know, meeting budget.
And Peter, if we don't use all that entitlement, we don't lose it, right? It goes into the managed.
Yeah, actually, 2022 was the first year since I've been here that we actually accrued long-term storage credits because we did use our full entitlement. Fortunately, our IGA with the city of Tucson is such that if we use more than we're entitled, we can buy the excess from Tucson water at an environmental rate. But last calendar year was the first year we actually used less than our entitlement and actually accrued long-term storage credits. So I think we have a grand total on that side of the balance equation. I think like 75 acre feet of long-term storage credits.
Yeah. But it all adds up.
Sure.
It's better than just
and as you know,
it's not a take it or
as you know. On the reclaim or on the effluent side, you don't accrue the long-term storage credits as aggressively as you do on the drinking water side.
So there are two distinct storage credits. It's a reclaim storage credit.
Yeah.
But they're all long-term. They're basically of equal value.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the one's not worth less than the other.
Right, because it offsets groundwater pumpage. It doesn't matter where it came from. So it has the same value from that standpoint.
And on that note, item number 6, update and discussion on water resources. Water resource usage, sorry.
Okay, thank you very much, Chair Hitt. So when we look at our water resource utilization, we're going to look at our water resource utilization in both the Oro Valley service area and our countryside service area. And as you know, our countryside service area is not contiguous with our main service area. It's about 1 square mile. And it's a couple miles to the west and a little bit south of the main service area. So with our Oro Valley main service area, even though what's interesting to note is Mary had mentioned this calendar year has been warmer than the previous calendar year. In fact, our monsoon season wasn't nearly as impressive as our monsoon season in 2022. But even with that, our water resource utilization really isn't reflecting that heat. And I think that's just a testament to this community's conservation ethic. And I think hopefully our conservation outreach that we do and giving customers the tools to monitor their water consumption with things like Water Smart and hopefully our quarterly newsletter is helping and all those things. But if you look, in 2022, as the mayor had was boasting about, in 2022 we had our second lowest groundwater. This dark blue line represents groundwater. Our second lowest groundwater pumpage since the utility was created in 1996. The lowest was in 2019. 2022 was the second lowest, and we're on point to make 2023 our second lowest groundwater use, as well as maybe even overall water resource utilization. It's neck and neck there between 2022 and 2023 for year to date. So for where we are right now year to date, our reclaimed, we're just under 1,300 acre feet. Last year we were just a little bit over 1,300 acre feet. CAP, we've delivered just under 1,900 acre feet. And last year, we were just a little bit over 1,800 acre feet. Groundwater, just about right on mark where we were last year. Last year, we were like around 3,350 acre feet. And year to date, we're at 3340. So really, it's amazing to see that, I mean, still, if you look at the overall consumption, I mean, we've been, in these years here, I think we were adding 400 and 500 service connections a year. I think now we're down to, what, 150, 180 a year. But nonetheless, we keep adding connections every year, yet our overall, you know, water resource utilization is, if it's not a downtrend, it's leveled off. So, you know, good job to everybody. I hope this is the result of, you know, the community's, you know, conservation ethic, and hopefully the messaging we're putting out there is working. I mean, so that's great. You know, more connections. We're having a warmer year this year than last year. Yet we're not seeing a big spike in our main service area with respect to water resource utilization. Looking at our countryside service area, same story. Now here, countryside just has two sources of supply. That's groundwater and CAP water. We don't deliver reclaimed water to this area. If you look at, you know, just a graphical representation, we're on target to having the lowest water resource consumption in the history of countryside since the utility's been the water service provider there. Our CAP water, you know, we base load our wheeling deliveries there, like Lee was saying. Our wheeling station there base loads, meaning it's the same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's about 100 GPM gallons per minute. We're going to be increasing that to 300 gallons per minute, I expect, before the end of the fiscal year. So just under 150 acre feet of CAP water delivered to that area. What will be really exciting is, you know, a year from now, when we look at this CAP number, I think we're going to actually be delivering more CAP water to that area than we do groundwater. So I think we're going to see a flip in what this looks like. That's a good thing in that area. It's served by two production wells and one wheeling station. You know, it'd be really nice to take further load off those groundwater producing wells. So it gives us system reliability, eases up on pumping of the aquifer there. We have seen some recovery in the aquifer in that area. I expect that this will really allow us to see a tremendous recovery in that area, as long as our neighbors don't offset our reduction in pumping with increasing their pumping. But stay tuned. We'll see. That completes this report with respect to water resource utilization for our main service area and countryside. Any questions? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item number 7, update and discussion on water rates analysis. Mary.
Okay, we're going to start our water rate analysis for 24-25. In the next couple months. So I'm just going to go over the purpose, the water rate analysis goals, and the schedule. So the purpose, I'll just read from the mayor and town council water policies, 2A, 2B4, an annual review of the revenue requirements and water rates is performed to ensure the long-term financial health of the water utility. Functions of the Oro Valley Water Utility Commission include reviewing and developing recommendations for water revenue requirements, water rates, and fee structures. The commission evaluates staff recommendations based on a rates analysis to ensure the recommendations meet town policies and bond covenants. So the goals of our water rate analysis is to generate sufficient revenues to meet the revenue and cash requirements, our debt service coverage requirements, ensure revenue stability, and maintain the overall financial health of the utility. And our water rates should also promote water conservation, be the minimum necessary to avoid rate shock, adapt to changing rate drivers and consumer trends, be equitable between customer classifications, and recover the cost of service for potable and reclaimed. So the schedule, we're going to meet with the finance subcommittee probably the end of this month will be our first meeting, and then in December we'll probably have a couple more meetings. January 8th, we'll update and discuss our rates analysis with the commission. On February 12th, we'll make a recommendation, and that goes to the council. On March 6th, we publish a notice of intent on our website, and then we for 60 days, and then for 20 days, we have to publish in a newspaper the notice of intent. And then on June 5th of 2024, there's a public hearing at the town council to adopt the water rate change. And then July 6th, the new rates become effective. And
Mary, if you could just go back one slide.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that really drives this schedule is you start working backwards from when you want to adopt to the notice periods you have to get with respect to the hearing dates and notice of intent. So this commission body as a whole will be diving deep into this in the January and February meetings. So please make sure to make those meetings. And then we're going to be scheduling very soon here with the finance subcommittee. The finance subcommittee, we just dive in a little deeper, look at several different scenarios. What we're finding this year, the only major rate driver is, even though we're going from a tier two shortage condition to a tier one, CAP is going to charge us a tier three. So just from a water resource perspective alone, I think we're like close to $500,000 in increase in our water resource utilization costs. So I think that's going to be our single largest rate driver. So we'll go into more detail on that. So, but you know what? But this is everybody. It's not just Oro Valley. But you know, as I've always told this commission body and our council is, you know, water just it's just going to be more expensive. But we're going to have it. January, February of 2024, important meetings. So try and make that one because we're going to dive deep into rates. Thank you.
These rates make it into the budget. Doesn't your budget development start like in February or March?
Yeah, the rates, when we come up with the rates analysis, goes to the budget.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's, even though they don't get approved later then.
Right. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, this council, fortunately, this community has been very supportive of their water utility, which makes it easy for council to be supportive of their water utility. And I think staff does a good job of demonstrating, you know, we're fiscally conservative with ratepayer money. We try and offer a lot of value, and, you know, we're not bringing on additional staff. We're not looking for additional staff or specialty equipment. I mean, we're upgrading our communication system. Definitely have to do that. But I think, fortunately, the council has been supportive of our mission. I think we've made it easy for them to be supportive. We go into the assumption a lot of times with, like, we think they're going to pass it. You know, but that's just how the budget cycle works. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Item number 8, discussion of possible action on the cancellation of the December 2023 Water Utility Commission meeting.
Yeah, you know, staff is working on budgets and rates, so I don't think we're going to have anything really to bring to the commission body that is we don't want to waste your time. We appreciate you being here. We're providing this update and laying the groundwork for important discussions we have in January and February. I just don't think we're going to have anything of substance for this commission body. But if the commission wants to meet, the staff is happy to meet on whatever you want to discuss.
I think I'm going to be out of town that day anyway, so it makes no difference to me.
December's busy.
Yeah, very busy time.
For that? You want a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we cancel the December commission meeting.
All right. We've got a motion and a second. Any opposition? 2? Hearing none. 16th. Item number 9, Town Council Meeting and Communications. Councilmember Bowen.
So thank you, everyone, for all of your hard work. We have a council meeting coming up this Wednesday, the 15th. Busy council meeting. Three items. First, there's going to be a proposal for a general plan amendment for a new subdivision that's between the Horizon subdivision and Rancho Valley Vista, think the west side of the Big Wash, you know, just north of the Safeway. So another new subdivision that impacts us here in water. And then secondly, regarding the marketplace, two items. First, a request from the applicant to abandon some of the right-of-way along Tangerine that the applicant would like to add to the area in which they'll build their project. That's the first item. And the second item is a phasing of the recreational area amenities in the, you guys all know, the central drainage area of the marketplace, kind of between the restaurant side and the big department stores and the Walmart side. Don't mean to disparage the one side, but it's basically the Walmart side.
Yeah.
So what they would like to do is, because we haven't approved an economic development agreement for them to, you know, underground all of that drainage in order to get areas 1, which is along Tangerine, and area 4, which is along Oracle, mobilized. They're going to put some of their recreation in there, meet their requirements for area 1 and area 4, and maybe that would move forward development in those areas. So a lot for us to talk about. It's becoming a busy time of the year in council, and I'd like to introduce you, if you haven't met him, and this is our town manager, Jeff Wilkins. It's great to have Jeff at a commission meeting. I know for 3 years we haven't seen the town manager at a commission meeting, so thanks for being here, Jeff. Very nice.
This is the last one, but I was at the one before.
I was out that one, so sorry. So I happened to miss. So Jeff has been here before, but it's always great because commissioners are people too, right? The town manager should meet the commissioners too. So thanks, Jeff.
And Councilmember Bowen's explanation of this Wednesday's agenda is succinct, concise, but those will be long topics, to say the least.
And so thank you, everybody. That's my report.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Peter, director's report.
All right. Sure. So upcoming meetings, this Wednesday, Town Council regular session. Council chambers at 6 p.m. And I do believe, I think it's still slated December 6th, there's going to be a town council regular session,
it will be,
as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the December 11th Water Utility Commission has been canceled, so we appreciate the commission body canceling that. It gives staff time to put together meaningful work for the commission body, and we'll be busy working on rates and budget. So then December 20th, Town Council regular session is canceled on December 20th due to the holiday break. And I believe, well, I don't know. It was shown on the calendar January 3rd as having a council meeting, but that may or may not be canceled. Sometimes they cancel those, sometimes they don't. But if you do want to attend the council meeting, just look at the town's website. They'll have that updated. I'd say there's a 50-50 chance that they have that. In the past, I think it's been canceled, but if there's pressing matters, they'll have it. I think at this time, is it currently slated? I think
currently
is, yeah. And then so with December's commission meeting being canceled, our next Water Commission meeting will be January 8th at 5 p.m. to bring in the new year right here. You're going to start seeing these graphs again as we enter into the late fall and winter. This is a representation of the Upper Colorado Basin snowpack. Here, the green line is the median. So as that snow starts building up, you know, we like to see anything above this green line here. We don't really like the red line. We love the purple one. But so we're just starting to get started. So get used to seeing this, and let's keep our fingers crossed that black line stays above the green line. And the higher above it is, the better for us. Looking at the,
say we're in El Nino year, so it should be better.
They
right?
say it. They say so.
Yeah.
So I've been.
They've said that before, and it hasn't really panned out.
Then, yeah. No.
You know, last year we were above the curve. That was good. You know, looking at the reservoir levels,
As I had mentioned, you know, this year we're currently in a tier 2A shortage, but as you know, the shortages are based on the water surface elevations of Lake Mead. Water surface elevations of Lake Mead have gone up in elevation with respect to where they were last year at this time. So that puts us in a tier 1 shortage, which is better than a tier 2. But like I mentioned, we're not going to see the economic benefits of purchasing water at tier 1 prices. In fact, we're going to be purchasing them at tier 3 prices. And there's several reasons for that, and we'll talk about it during rate season. So compared to this time last year, reservoir levels are in improved condition on the Colorado River. One thing I want to talk about, the mayor and town manager had asked staff to look into attending this workshop retreat called Growing Water Smart. It's in Scottsdale, January 22nd, 23rd, 24th. We put together a team made up of the mayor, hopefully one more council person, town manager, myself, Mary Rallis, the community and economic development director, Paul Melcher, and his chief planner, Bayer Vella. And we had two volunteers from the commission, Commissioner Vesio and Commissioner Merrick. So I think I was looking for commissioners. We met this morning online with the host, and they said, you got a full team. So we're really not looking for any more commissioners. But if someone's passionate about being part of this, I'll make a pitch to bring on another person on the team. But I think right now our team is well-shaped with respect to elected bodies, community representatives, and staff. One of the things about this retreat is I think it gives opportunity for, like I said, elected officials, community members, and staff members to spend, you know, between 2 and 3 days together, uninterrupted, together as a body, you know, sharing ideas, wrestling with some of the challenges of community sustainability with respect to water resources, that uninterrupted time together, and then also in an expanded view, you know, meeting with like-minded water professionals, elected officials, and other community representatives to talk about, you know, how they're handling their water resource challenges in their respective communities. I have a feeling that Oro Valley I expect to get a lot out of this, but I think we're going to be telling people a lot about what we do here, because I think we're way ahead of the curve with respect to how we manage our resources, the technology we utilize to manage these resources, the technology we utilize to help our customers manage their consumption. We are just so far ahead of the curve. I think everybody's going to be asking us, how did we get here? But I hope within us that we're able to, I always want to stay ahead of everybody. Don't rest on our laurels. I hope this spurs some great conversation and some ideas and out-of-the-box thinking to take us to that next tier of water resource management and efficient use of our resources. So the team will be going to this retreat, and we'll be reporting to the commission body about how that went. Sounds like there's quite a bit of follow-up to this retreat, that it's not like you just come back and you go back to doing what you do at Jeff. I took that away from our meeting this morning, that there's some follow-up and maybe some funding opportunities that we could take advantage of if we do certain things. So, yeah.
Three things. What Peter's alluding to, after we participate, there will be annual grant opportunities, technical assistance, about $10,000. Not a lot, but enough to help us keep going. And then we'll create an action plan after this exercise. Of course, it'll be brought back here. And then I think there'll be an opportunity, possibly, our assessment, kind of our self-assessment, to kind of not necessarily bring it here before the retreat, but as kind of here's what we thought going into it. And there might be an opportunity to share that, just what our thoughts were. And most of that's going to be filled out by Peter and Peter's staff, as well as planning staff. So But that's they really wanted to have the planning, the land planning, and the water planning more integrated, and that's why they put this on. So this group pays for it. I mean, they pay.
Sonoran Institute.
Yeah. Okay. So so very very gracious offer. So there's a. I think there's like four communities right now. They're thinking about another one. Tucson's considering it, apparently, too. But Peter did a bang-up job filling out the application on short notice. So got to give him some kudos.
On my short notice. My short notice was 2 weeks ago, Jeff. No, 2 weeks prior to the deadline, Jeff says, hey, why don't you turn in this application? Yes, sir. A week before it's due, he said, hey, did you get that application turned in? And as I'm coming back from lunch, I said, I'm working on it right now. I always appreciate those friendly reminders, but no, we put together a good application and such that we were they want us to be part of the program. You know what I do think is neat is I think it'll really give us an opportunity to bring together that planning water resource nexus. You know, although we do integrate them right now, I mean, the water utility works closely with planning and you know, what does the future look like in terms of connections and water resource use? But I think it'll be neat to have a couple days together just to do that. So we'll tell you how it goes. Okay, update on our water conservation grant fund update. Just as a reminder, the Water Conservation Grant Fund exists to provide financial resources to eligible entities for the purposes of conserving Arizona's water supply. A wide range of projects and programs are eligible for this funding. Some examples include construction of groundwater storage facilities, community education initiatives about wise water use, projects to promote groundwater recharge, and imported aquifer health. Why does that look like a... How about improved aquifer health? Our project fit this bill perfectly. We submitted our Northwest Recharge Recovery Delivery System project is a program that promotes groundwater recharge and improves aquifer health. We submitted the application of this program to the Water Infrastructure Financing Authority staff. Staff reviewed it, saw that you know we met all the criteria for this program, and recommended our application to the Water Conservation Grant Fund Committee. Our application went before the committee. Mary Rallis and I went up to Phoenix. We were there to answer questions by the committee. The committee had some questions. We answered those questions, I guess, to their satisfaction. They recommended our program be brought before the WIFA board for final consideration. I don't think it did. I don't know what the difference was between the committee and the board. It seems like the committee, in my opinion, was made up of water professionals or folks that understood Arizona water better than the WIFA board. They had a lot of confusion as to recharge and recovery. I would say about half the board members completely understood it because they were water professionals. The other half, I got the impression there were maybe finance people, bankers, real estate people, completely lost on them. Mary Rallis and I were there once again, and they were having this deliberation, and we're standing, sitting in the front row, and I'm right here and texting people sitting on the panel, like, why aren't you asking me questions? The board didn't want it. They saw us there. They didn't ask us any questions. They did not understand the recharge recovery concept. It really wasn't looking good for us, to be honest with you. Fortunately, the water professionals that were on the board, I think they saw how this was going, and they said, you know what? I think we need to have more discussion on this, make sure we understand the project. Let's hold this off for a vote at a November-December meeting. I think they really saved us right there. There were some folks and their colleagues we know that are on the board that saw that they just weren't the majority. We were probably one vote short. We would have lost by a vote. We need to get that one more vote for our program. I think they saw that and they said, "Hey, you know what? Let's deliberate a little more on this. Let's make sure we all understand how you know this works. Maybe the applicant can answer questions for us." We're like, "Yeah, that'd be great." So
They put it. They said that they made a motion. It was seconded, and a majority vote to put off voting on our NWRRDS program to either November or December board meeting. Waiting to hear back from the as to when that will be. We've been doing some behind the scenes work to make sure people understand this. I'm not looking for a unanimous. I'm just looking for a majority. So,
yeah,
we're looking literally just to make sure one or two more people understand this. I mean, we check all of the boxes.
Yes. Is there a dollar amount, or does that come later if you get
$3 million?
$3 million.
Yeah, okay. It's a $3 million. Sorry, thank you. It's a $3 million grant. You know, if you look at if they put in $3 million, if you look at the dollar per acre foot, so say it's a 50-year IGA, 4,000 acre feet a year, over the life of the IGA, you're saving 200,000 acre feet of groundwater for $3 million. They're approving programs that save 10,000 acre feet for $3 million. The bang per buck for our program is just. Once you put it in those kind of terms, it's like obvious. I never got a chance to even say that. That was the frustrating part for me, is I never got a chance to talk on behalf of our applicant. And that was really weird. I don't know why. I don't know why.
Is there an opportunity to maybe kind of, I don't know, submit a unsolicited description?
We've done the behind the scenes work because we don't want to make anybody mad.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of tread lightly with that.
But they need to know that. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? Is saving.
Well, as a water professional, Commissioner Forrest, you're familiar who at least two or three of the board members are, and you know they understand it. So we've been talking to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's bad. I worry about being too heavy-handed.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you're right. This, from what I know about the program and what they're trying to do, this is a poster child for that.
Textbook.
It would be a real feather in their cap.
I don't see why they wouldn't want to be a part of this. Yeah. So stay tuned. You know, I think Mary and we left there. We're driving up there, and I was literally saying, I can't wait 3 hours from now to drive back, call Jeff, and say we got the money. We had a council meeting that night. I was like, this would be awesome. He's going to be able to tell council we got $3 million. But literally, this is what we're talking like, and then like, boy, they just we came back just like depressed. But you know, that's what happens when you get a little. You know, that's just the universe saying, be patient.
Yeah. So
stay tuned. I am optimistic that we will bring this across the finish line. I think we're doing everything we reasonably can to be successful in this. So stay tuned.
Yeah, would that $3 million be distributed amongst all the partners on the trust, or Oro Valley?
Yeah, it's our application.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Now, I have heard that the other partners have submitted applications as well, so that might be in our favor. I don't know, but no, it's an Oro Valley only application.
Beautiful picture.
I know. I just wanted the pretty picture. I couldn't go backwards. It's okay. Of course, if anybody can save me. Oh, see, there we go. Yeah, I can't. Come on, we end the last meeting of the year.
That's true.
There we go. It's right there. Right there. One more.
I thought I'd mention that this Growing Water Smart event, the impression I got initially when it was offered was it would be a passive participation event. You know, we sit there in a large conference, listen to well-spoken professionals about water. No, this is very much an active participation. In fact, they're going to do a lot of prep work. I was surprised at this orientation. And it's everybody coming together to discuss and come up with your own action plan. which you then own, and they can help potentially fund. So very pleasantly surprised after today's orientation.
Yeah.
And it's very well structured by this Sonoran Institute.
Sounds very similar to I'm not even sure how often they do it, but the state does town halls. And every now and then they do it on the water. And so I've been able to participate a couple times. Much broader, you know, much bigger deal, but it sounds like kind of the same thing. It's
getting
people who understand the topic and the challenges and kind of coming up with a statewide action plan. So this sounds like just a smaller scale, but if that's what it is, you should get a lot out of it.
I certainly will.
Yeah.
Professionals should as well. But do you have any idea who funds the Sonoran Institute, where they get their money?
I was just talking to Mary about it. I don't know.
I'm not real sure either. I think Walden's may put something into it. Yeah. Walmart.
Walden.
I think they may have support it, but others too. It's one of those that, you know, is very conservation oriented. Gates Foundation, Walton's, those types of funders, whatever they call them.
Benefactors.
Yeah.
Kind of like a think tank, too.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a little bit like a think tank. And so, yeah.
On behalf of staff, I'd like to thank this commission for a great 2023. Thanks for your support of your water utility and our mission. It makes council's job easier to know that they have a competent commission to review these things before they go to council. So thank you for that. Thanks for a great year, and we're looking forward to 2024. So have a great holiday season and be safe, and we hope to see you next year.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.
Thank you for
letting us be part of such a great organization.
Thank you.
You guys do a great job.
As I did say at a town council meeting once, I was praising how well these meetings are structured and how much we get out of it. The time you take to deliver this information and how well you do it.
Why you be informed. Thank you.
All right, a couple more items before we can go. Call to the audience. Any speaker cards? Nope. Anyone else in the audience want to speak? Nope. All right. With that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in opposition can stay here. 6:34.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.